The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert. And when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, 'If one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one's obligated.' Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? And you say, 'If one swears by the altar, one is it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift of the altar, one is obligated.' You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. On Saturday, we celebrated the feast of St. Bartholomew, to whom Jesus gave a compliment he wants to give to every single one of us. When he saw Bartholomew, he said, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no duplicity, no guile, no two faces, but one who is totally clear and sincere." Today we have an unbelievable contrast to Bartholomew and to anyone who's truly going to be a follower of the Lord. Jesus begins 8 woes of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he calls them at each instance a hypocrite. That Greek word hypocrite is the word for an actor. On Saturday, if we didn't have the feast of St. Bartholomew, the first reading that would have begun this chapter would have said, listen to what they teach you, because they're actually teaching God's words, but don't follow their example because they don't practice what they preach. Jesus' huge problem with the Pharisees were that they were saying one thing and doing something else, because as he would have told us on Saturday, they're doing it all to be seen. They're putting on a show. It's focused on external actions rather than in their heart. That on the outside they seem to be very religious and holy, but in the inside, all full of dead men's bones, criticism, envy, lust, whole bunch of types of things that Jesus wanted to free them from, but they didn't want Jesus to free them from them. So we've got 3 of Jesus' calls to conversion, not only to the Pharisees, but to people of all time. First thing, he calls them actors. Instead of doing what he asked Peter to do, to open up the kingdom of heaven with the keys of heaven, they were locking the door to themselves and to others by their own behavior. Jesus described over the last several weeks what it means to enter into the kingdom of heaven. All the parables that he's given us, all the direct words, that we need to become small like little children. We need to become humble. We need to seize it. Yesterday, he would have said we need to agonize to fit through the narrow gate. Pharisees are saying, as long as you wash your hands with half eggshells up and down this way and rub in this way and wash all your containers and do all the rest, that's the way you enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the way you'd get to the analogy to that would be, you want to go to Florida? Head to Maine. Sending them exactly the wrong direction. Instead of opening themselves up to God's grace and help, they were trying to get them caught up in this inescapable labyrinth of external deeds that never really touched the heart. Second castigation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You'll traverse land and sea to make one convert, but then you'll make him twice as much a child of hell as you are. It's not just sort of false ideas, Jesus is saying. We need to catch this. He's saying, rather than becoming children of God, the Pharisees were making them children of hell. Because not only were they not really doing things that were going to bring them alive spiritually, but they were precisely doing things that were kicking the true God out. Rather than the simplicity of God's children trusting in His providence, they were going to be trusting in their own deeds. And that's exactly one of the temptations that had come from the devil. Not just bad ideas here, but having caved in to a temptation of Satan. We need likewise to be aware of this, because a lot of the times when we pass on the faith to others, we don't pass on the most important parts of faith. Over the course of the last few days, I've been in Kansas City preaching retreat to deacons, and I've tried to help them to understand one of the real false criticisms of Pope Francis. You know, there are a lot of solid Catholics who are upset with Pope Francis because he's not speaking forcefully enough about the issues they want to hear the Pope speak on. Same-sex marriage, abortion, various of the other sort of challenges that are coming from people trying to have the Church bless their sinful behavior. A lot of people don't understand what Pope's doing. Why down in Brazil, where in the midst of 3.7 million children and so much good that was there, they were also finding used condoms on the beach? Okay? Why didn't he talk about the sin of fornication down there with a whole bunch of fornicating Latin Americans with Latin blood, as it said? He had said it in a book-length interview a few years ago, but most of the time we don't do our homework and we just prefer to sit and criticize. He basically said, in order to get people to live the more difficult teachings of the Church, we first have to connect them to Jesus. If they don't really have a warm, loving relationship with Jesus, they're not going to have the strength to leave a second marriage outside of the Church, for example, if the first marriage is still valid. They're not going to get the strength to get themselves out of circumstances that are contrary to the gospel unless they receive Jesus' help. So the first thing is to get them turning with Jesus so that Jesus can give them the light to see how what they're doing is incompatible with what He's made them for and what their heart deeply desires. I said, the joke of this, the joke of what a lot of people are asking, is for me to go up to people and say, "Hi, my name's Father Roger Landry. Are you using the pill?" As if that would be the first thing that would bring people to the faith. So much more. A lot of the times when we pass on the faith, we pass on our own burdens rather than the Lord who yokes us to His own burdens and makes our burdens light and sweet. All Catholics need to be aware of this. Sometimes when we're trying to spread the faith, what we end up doing is we throw commandments in front of people that they're going to find really hard, rather than bring them to Christ and work with them so that they might be able to recognize that all of Christ's commandments teach them how to love appropriately. It's not that we totally duck these issues. We don't, because they're important. People won't get into the kingdom of heaven if they're living a life of sin. But the first thing we need to do is introduce them to the love of the King. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were absolutely not doing. They weren't introducing the people to God. They were introducing them to all their interpretation of the Mosaic law, which was a burden no person could handle. But the third part is the biggest contrast to Bartholomew and to what we're called to. Real sincerity, real truthfulness, real candor. The Pharisees had an idea that if you swore an oath, you were bound to it. But only if you swore a binding oath. If you didn't swear a binding oath, you could break it. So what was a binding oath? A binding oath was one in which you invoked God as your witness. Right? So, you know, I'm not sure if you were like this when you were a kid, but cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. And then you'd go and you'd deceive somebody. You'd give a half-truth. We, at least I, when I was a little boy, would do things like that. And we would say, as long as I was not saying, really, I swear to God, I promise you, I swear, not telling the truth. And we thought that we could then dissimulate. So the Jews said, as long as they don't use God explicitly, it wasn't a binding oath, and then they could basically lie to you. They could be duplicitous. They could be full of guile. So that's what Jesus is bringing up here. They were saying, I could swear by the temple, but if I swear by the gold in the temple, then I'm obligated. Or I could swear by the altar, but not the gift of the altar. Because if I swear by the gift of the altar, I got to tell the truth. But if I swear just by the altar, I can lie through my teeth. Think about what hypocrisy that is, what acting that is. I'm saying one line, but my heart and my head are far from what I'm saying. So Jesus at the very end says, you blind ones. Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that's upon it, including all that's being offered to God. One who swears by the temple swears by it and him who dwells by it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, by him who is seated on it. In other words, when you take an oath, you're always swearing by God. God is always your witness. That's why he'll say later, say yes when you mean yes, no when you mean no. Everything else is from the devil. That's the type of sincerity of heart we're called to have. Today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady Częstochowa, so dear to our Polish Catholics. Jasna Góra is the name of the mountain on which this famous icon of Our Lady rests. I had the great joy 11 years ago, 3 days in a row, of having the privilege to celebrate Mass in front of that icon with the vestments of Blessed John Paul II. Jasna Góra means clear mountain. Mary is a mountain of faith, and she's totally transparent. We prayed in the Angelus before Mass today, let it be done to me according to your word. She tried to have her whole life developed precisely according to God's word, and her soul would blast forth words like her Magnificat, not false humility, the fake humility in which people sometimes pretend that they're really humble, but Mary's heart bursts forth. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because the Almighty in his goodness has done great things for me. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. Those are about the greatest words anybody could ever say about themselves. And the thing was, they were all true, and they weren't coming from pride. They were coming from authentic humility, which means seeing ourselves exactly as God sees us. And being able to do what St. Paul did at the beginning of the reading today to the Thessalonians, beginning his whole prayer with thanksgiving to God. That's what Mary was doing, because her heart was pure, was immaculate. She wasn't an actor. She was herself and holy at all times. Today, as we remember her, as so many Poles go to Jasna Góra in order to venerate her, we ask her to gain for us the grace of never going through the motions of our faith, but being sincere and building our faith on the true rock of Christ, the cornerstone, the King, who wishes to have us enter into his kingdom, not following blind guides, but following his every word as he says to us, follow me. And his pure mother says, do whatever he tells you. Praise be Jesus Christ.